and my heart does perceive that you're about to talk to me. I need to have it go in and become my truth. In Jesus' name. I believe that as we go forward in life, we sometimes read into things that we don't understand or get a word that doesn't make sense. Okay? This happened, I would be guessing, in 1991, 92. And I'm having a very hard time. Life is just not a bowl of cherries right then. It was just tough. And you guys know Mo because she comes once in a while for the feast. She knocks on the door of my office at Grace and says, Kim, I have a word for you. I said, well, come on in. We got 3 minutes. So she sits down and she says, it's Psalm 74. So if you'll take your Bible, we'll go to Psalm 74. She says, it doesn't make a darn bit of sense. So I said, well, let's hear the word and I'll give you what I know. Because, you know, this is coming out of the blue. And so she says, this is the verses that came that you need to be paying attention to. And this is July. But I had a word back in December that God was going to deal with Leviathan. And I didn't understand what that was. It was just foreign language to me. So here comes Mo and verse 12. But you, O God, are my king from of old. You bring salvation upon the earth. Well, whenever I hear upon the earth, I'm talking about me, this earth. Okay? It starts with this earth before it works on the globe. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monsters in the water. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him as food to the creatures of the desert. Well, my ears perked up because now the word from 6 months ago I had no answers for. I had no clue what he was talking about. So I thanked her for the word, and I went back and studied this, and I looked at it, and then the Holy Spirit said, that demonic force is working without hindrance. Well, that's kind of nice to know, but it's also not good news as far as I'm concerned. You know, if it's already working, what is it actually doing and who's he working on? And obviously, he's working on me, which I didn't like the idea. But I said, I need education. So I said to the Lord, where is this thing and what has it done? And he took me to Job. So if you'll go to Job, we'll try to see if we can show you a little bit of what this thing has done. So in Job chapter 3, verse 8, if you look at the beginning of Job, in chapter 3, it says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Not a good idea. Okay? He said, may the day of my birth perish, and the night it was said, a boy is born, that day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it, and may no light shine upon it. So he's having a pity party and he's not minding at all telling God how he feels. Have you ever been there? I have. May darkness and deep shadow claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it, and may blackness overwhelm its light. That night, may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered in any of the months. May that night be barren. May no shout of joy be heard in it. May those who curse day, curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. I said, oh my God. This thing can be awakened? You know, that's another level. May its morning stars become dark. May it wait for daylight in vain. And not see the first rays of dawn, for it did not shut the doors of the womb on me or hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? And it goes on. So I want you to kind of leave that, because the Lord at that point is taking me to that next level. As I keep studying, and this was not done in 1 hour, it was not done in 1 day, it was done over a period of time. So now I want you to skip forward, because that's what he asked me to do. So I'm taking you with me to Job 41. Maybe we could back it up to Job 40, because it'll be a little more comfortable and easier to understand. If you read Job, you can see he's on pain of death and doesn't want to live. He's depressed. He's got problems with his body. I mean, it's not an easy walk, and he's having a very hard time. But verse 40, chapter 40, verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Job, 'Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?'" So now you heard what he had to say in chapter 3, and there's a lot more that he says, but I'm kind of skipping that forward because we'd be here for 3 days. "Let him who accuses God answer him." So God is saying, okay, now, it's my turn. Got it? "Then Job answered the Lord, 'I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answers. Twice, but I will say no more.' And the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. 'Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me for a change,'" basically. "Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself?" Say ouch. Because, see, when you're looking at what God is saying, Job heard his mouth say it, but God is saying, "I heard you. I know what you said." Right. Okay? Verse 9, "Do you have an arm like God? And can your voice thunder like this? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man." Look at every what? Proud man. "And bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Look at the behemoth." By the way, that's... Behemoth is another word for hippopotamus, okay? Which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins. What power in the muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar, and the sinews of his thighs are close-knit. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are rods of iron. He ranks first among the works of God. Yet his maker can approach him with his sword. The hills bring him their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants he lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. Now you say, well, why is he saying all this? I think it's to really show you the character of what Leviathan is as you start learning. The lotuses conceal him in their shadows. The poplars by the streams surround him. When the rivers rage, he is not alarmed. He is secure. Though the Jordan should surge against his mouth, can anyone capture him by the eyes or trap him and pierce his nose? Can you pull, chapter 41, verse 1, can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? Slave for life. Can you make a pet like a bird? Or put on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Meaning, if you think you're going to take care of Leviathan on your own, you've got problems. Got it? Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Now, I will not fail to speak of his limbs, his strength and his graceful form. Who can strip off his outer coat? Who would approach him with a bridle? In other words, you're not going to tame him either. Who dares open the doors of his mouth, ringed about with his fearsome teeth? His back has a row tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. His snorting throws out flashes of light. His eyes are like rays of dawn. Firebrands stream from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from his nostrils and from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds. He breathes, his breath sets coals ablaze, and flames dart from his mouth. Strength resides in his neck. Dismay goes before him. The folds of his flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. His chest is hard as a rock, hard as a lower millstone. When he rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before his thrashing. The sword that reaches him has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. In other words, your normal tools are not going to work. Iron he treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make him flee. Sling stones are like chaff to him. A club seems to him but a piece of straw. He laughs at the rattling of the lance. His underside are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud, like a threshing sledge. He makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him he leaves a glistening wake. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is his equal. A creature without fear. I repeat, a creature without fear. He looks down on all that is haughty. He is king over all that are proud. Oh. So when I got to that part, I said, Lord, you mean to tell me all of these that I'm aware of, and I'm looking at people that I know, that are under an anointing of pride, Leviathan is really the spirit force that's behind it. So that awakened me. It awakened me to what it had done in me. And I can remember my defense mechanism. How many know your defense mechanism can get you into trouble? Mm-hmm. Your mouth trying to defend yourself when you know that maybe you should shut up, but you're not smart enough to shut up or powerful enough. It's really the spirit of Leviathan that's using you, and you're not aware of it. And it is important that you start knowing, because watch the fruit. Job 42. Then Job replied to the Lord. Again, Job replied to the Lord. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. When your defense mechanism, I call it on high-speed automatic, in a relationship situation, it's like two dogs barking at each other, and there's no resolve. It divides to conquer. It comes in marriages. It comes in relationships. It comes all over the family structure, as well as the political structure, as well as the religious structure. Do you ever see how two churches will fight each other to the death? And they're both right? That spirit is having a party. And when that spirit is having a party, who pays the price? Me. If I can learn, which is what I had to learn, to be quiet, not to defend, because when you're defending, you're actually participating to that anointing. And that anointing is created by God, but he's the one that can take care of it. His arm can handle it. Yours can't. And that is not what Jesus was giving, because again, this demonic force works over our country. It works over this state. It works over those that are caught in deception. And it has a party. And the only way that I had to learn was to respond to this force. And I want to give you just a little bit more. Let's go back to verse 4. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Okay. When you decide that you finally understood something, and you see what it's done in you, or through you, or against you, and you stop fighting the war against the people, or relationships, or political, or social works, factory works, court works, wherever you happen to be, that force is there, and it's intending for you to defend yourself, and it will attack. But if you respond like Job, okay, God, I can see what I'm involved in. I can see what's happening. I can see this relative and what they're doing to me or how they're going forward. And verse 7 says, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz, that, and these are people that he's contending with, okay? He's saying, you have not spoken of me what is right, and my servant Job has. So now, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourself. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly or stupidity. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So God is now confirming Job in what he did right. So Eliphaz and the Temanite, Bildad and Shuhite, and Sophar and the Naamite, did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Now, don't forget, these 3 people have been against Job. They're picking at him. They're trying to straighten him out. And the bottom line is, Job is being asked by God, pray for them. Would you really want to pray for them? Not really. Not when they treated you like a piece of dirt, and they're telling you you're wrong. And Job is fighting a good fight of faith in the majority of his experience. Verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again, gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and his sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the troubles the Lord had brought upon him. Notice it's the Lord that allowed the test. And that's a ouch, ouch. Okay? The Lord allowed the test. What was he after? He was trying to get Job to see that there's a demonic spirit using you that you need to see and get rid of it. And stop being taught by what it does or how it works. The Lord has brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. I like that. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first, etc. And you can read the rest. So, how many of you have seen a little itch inside of your heart saying, it used me? Okay, this is what I would like you to do. I would like you to place your right hand over your heart and say, Holy Spirit, it's time for cleaning house. What this Spirit has done to me and those in my family, especially those in my family, don't let me get caught again with arrogance and responses under the anointing of Leviathan. Because now I know who pushed my buttons. And I renounce that spirit, Lord. I divorce myself from that spirit. And I say, Leviathan, the Lord rebuke you. You will not use me again to the best of my ability. So, Holy Spirit, you've got a full-time job. Keep cleaning me up. And when I need to repent and change my mind about something, get through to me. Don't let this dark force try to destroy me, because it has used me. And I know it's true. So, Father, I need all the help I can get. I need grace. I need favor. And I need your Holy Spirit to counsel me and comfort me and heal me in my house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I can tell you that this is not an easy message to teach, but it does identify the dark force that operates without hindrance most of the time, because you don't know. But as of today, now you know. So it's going to cause some changes in your prayer life. Because how many have at least one or two pictures that came up in your head as you were praying? Those are the focus that the Holy Spirit will tell you to pray for and intercede for. Just like my driver. Yeah? My driver. Okay?